This is Flamestock. Join the conversation at 960 960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on a Wednesday edition of Flames Talk. It is Wednesday, August 21st. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Wednesday from our Groundworks Downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair. Well, Tuesday, Wes and I got into a conversation about Dan Vladar, who turned 27 on Tuesday, so he's now 27 plus a day. He comes to the Flames in the final year of a contract prior to becoming an unrestricted free agent for the first time, and he comes to the Flames coming off significant hip surgery. So what could the season hold for Dan Vladar ahead, and what should fair expectations be? That and a whole lot of other goaltending news as we welcome back our goaltending expert. Kevin Woodley joins us for a summer appearance from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Mr. Woodley's been busy in the goaltending field on this Wednesday as well, with some news out of Vancouver, which we'll get to in just a little bit too. Mr. Woodley on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. How we doing?
I need an Atlas Pizza and beer because it's been a day. Like, I guess vacation is over. The season is right around the corner. I was kind of hoping to wait till we got closer to training camp, but as you mentioned, no shortage of news and big news surrounding the Canucks and goaltending in particular this week already.
Yeah, so two big pieces of news in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to start there, obviously the Thatcher Demko news, I wondered how long before this was going to become a story. I spent the week before in Ontario. My youngest daughter was attending some university recruiting camps. And, you know, you're in Ontario. There's, you know, it's like almost like not quite Kelowna where you can go hit a nine iron and guarantee you hit an NHLer, but they're everywhere. So talk to guys, caught up with some people. And it's funny because it was a topic of conversation even there. And so I wondered how long before, you know, it became a topic of conversation here. And sure enough, it did on Monday. Rick Dhaliwal, who has all the scoops in Vancouver, reporting kind of what I would heard, that Demko might not be ready, at the very least, for training camp out of the gate. Still think there's a chance he's ready for the season, but there's some uncertainty there. And a lot of talk from the people I've talked to, haven't been able to confirm it 100%, but a lot of talk that there was a procedure. And then that's how you go from almost being ready to play in the Western Conference Final if they beat Edmonton to maybe not ready for the start of training camp. So obviously the number one goaltender, finished second in Vezina Trophy voting. The only thing he hasn't been able to do to this point in his career is get through a season healthy. And I do think, like, it's tough because everyone's just going to look at that and be like, he's injury prone. I don't know that it's entirely fair. I think there are a number of these injuries that weren't properly managed at times and bled from one season into the other, like created an issue the following season. So I'm not sure the label's entirely fair, but at the end of the day, you know, it's like being a number one. Until you've done it, you haven't done it. And so you got to get through a season healthy, and doesn't sound like he's going to at least start this one on that side of the ledger.
So Kevin, do the Canucks need to go get some insurance here, or what's your read there?
Well, I guess it depends on, you know, and again, I'm going to credit Rick Dhaliwal. Because one thing is, like, I kind of say in this market a lot, I leave the insidering to the insiders. Mm-hmm. They have those connections. They do such a fantastic job. And that's not really my gig. I'm more of the relationship analysis and learn the position guy. And so Rick reported that they have been looking at some PTOs. And that kind of matches the timeline I had heard and just mentioned to you guys, right? Because they've got Shelovs. They believe in him. They don't have a ton of cap room. I mean, they're not in bad shape cap-wise, but they're not looking to spend it on goaltending. They think that Arturs can be their backup. They went with sort of a less experienced three in Yuri Patera in free agency because they thought that. So a PTO that Rick had reported they were looking at or offering or talking to goalies about a PTO, to me that screams, hey, we don't know if we're going to have this guy at the start of training camp, but we might have him at the start of the season, in which case you don't want to commit to a contract, right? If indeed he's going to miss time in the NHL at the start of the year as well, man, as good as Seeloffs was for them and getting them to the second round of the playoffs last year, you're talking about 17 combined regular season games of NHL experience between him and Yuri Patera, a team with playoff aspirations again this year, you might want to have guys who played a little more in the league as an option. So only they know, and truth be told, I'm not sure they do yet. I think there's some uncertainty around this, and that might be, you know, why, you know, why they haven't made a move to this point, because you don't want to, you know, upset what you thought was going to be a pretty, you know, well-structured depth chart going into the year, only to find that, you know, Thatcher's feeling better and ready to go in time to start the season, and now you've got to make a decision on Arturs Seelofs, sending him down. He doesn't need waivers, so you can do that, but is it the best thing for his development after what he showed last year? So those are the questions they have to answer. You know, and as Ian McIntyre from Sportsnet in Vancouver pointed out on Twitter this afternoon, the Casey DeSmith trade was right before training camp. So there's time to figure this out. And if you were to get into the preseason and find out that Thatcher wasn't available and you didn't like what was an option to you in free agency, there's going to be a lot of guys on the waiver wire with NHL experience. I look at Buffalo, James Reimer could be on the waiver wire. You know, Winnipeg, Eric Comrie or Kaapo Kähkönen, and one of the two has to go down. Detroit's got four NHL experience goaltenders on their roster. Now, of course, some of these teams might carry three to start the season and make that a tougher thing to do. But I just think there's enough guys. Chris Driedger, if Spencer Knight sticks with the Florida Panthers, is a guy who I absolutely believe is an NHL goaltender and liked that signing. But he, too, could end up on waivers depending on how preseason goes and be an option. So it's not like they're as up against it as you might think this way. But certainly there's uncertainty about their star goaltender, and that's never a great way to start things.
What's the lowdown on the other piece of news out of Vancouver? And that is the here in Calgary, there's a pretty set goaltending department that's been in place for a number of years, headed by Jordan Sigalette with Jason LaBarbara and Mackenzie Skapski. They really like the way their goaltending hierarchy works when it comes to the goaltending department. And it felt like Vancouver had a pretty good situation as well, led by Ian Clark. But Ian Clark, one of the foremost names when it comes to the position and coaching the position right now, he's been shuffled around. What can you tell us about the goaltending department shuffle in Vancouver?
Well, I think, obviously, a lot of people saw the release. My understanding, it wasn't because I don't have all the information, but I do have some. So bear with me here. I believe that, as the release indicated, that there was a request to lessen the load in terms of what Ian was doing on the ice. I believe that is related to the physical demands of the goalie coaching position. A shoulder that that might require surgery, a couple of knees that had multiple injections. There was a couple nights in the press box where, and Ian doesn't like his goaltenders to show weakness, and he doesn't like to show it either, but he could barely walk. So I know there's been some, he's had some injections into the knee, and as a guy who's looking at potentially knee replacement surgery himself, I know how unpleasant it is once it gets down to bone on bone. So I think that's ultimately why there was a request for a transition out of the active coaching role. I was surprised to see him moved kind of right out of the day-to-day into a more passive scouting role, and I don't have all the answers there. And when I say I'm surprised, because I always thought the long-term, it's not because I've had conversations today about this, but I just always thought and was under the impression, since Marco Terenius, who moves up from the AHL to the NHL, since he was hired in the AHL, I always thought there was a progression plan. And Ian Clark was the goalie coach and the goalie director. He had that title. And I always was under the impression that he would retain that title, help with the transition from Marco Terenius into the NHL. And I thought that might happen next year instead of this year. So a little surprised by the timing. But then also, that's not how it's playing out. So Terenius will be up here, not on his own, but without a director in place, without Ian Clark in a mentorship role. Doesn't mean he's not just a phone call away. Marco's a hell of a coach who has a long experience in Russia. There's a reason he was coveted to come over here. And frankly, there's a handful of Finnish coaches that probably never come over and start in the American League, if not for what happened in Russia and the Ukraine. Because Russian goalie coaches make more at times than NHL goalie coaches. So, you know, that transition into the minors and that stepping stone is something these guys probably never would have taken if that didn't become no longer an option over there. So he's a hell of a coach. But you saw it with Markstrom his first year in Calgary. We saw it with Sergei Bobrovsky his first year after Ian left Columbus. His guys tend to struggle a little bit without him in that first year. So removing him completely from it has me scratching my head a little bit, to be perfectly honest, and wondering why you wouldn't retain that sort of mentorship role for Marco. Not like he needs a crutch, but just have that resource there for him and Thatcher. And so, again, just a phone call away, I would imagine, but a little surprised that he doesn't just slide into a director role. And the juxtaposition is right there, because earlier in the day, the New York Rangers did the exact same thing with Benoit Allaire, who also was struggling physically, had stopped traveling with the New York Rangers on a regular basis, especially on the trips out west. I hadn't seen him in at least 3 years out here in Vancouver because of the physical toll the position had taken. And they transitioned him earlier today into a director role and moved two sort of his philosophical disciples into the roles underneath him. So it was what I expected here. It's not what happened. Maybe I don't have all the information on why, but I was a bit surprised by that part
okay.
of it.
We're chatting with Kevin Woodley, In Goal Magazine, NHL.com. He is our goaltending expert, joining us for a little summertime conversation. And wanted to get into Dan Vladar with you, because he turned 27 on Tuesday. Wes and I had a conversation about him and just kind of so much talk about Dustin Wolf, some buzz about the Flames signing Devin Cooley. Wolf got his 2-year contract, and so that made some headlines. And it feels like, because we haven't seen Dan play in so long, because he did have his season cut short to have the hip surgery, and because he enters the final year of a contract as a pending unrestricted free agent at the end of this year, feels like sometimes Dan's a little bit of the forgotten man when it comes to the goaltending conversation here in Calgary. I'm so fascinated as to what it might look like for Vladar now that the hip is repaired. And you're so knowledgeable about this surgery, what it can mean for a goaltender going forward. I guess I'm curious your thoughts on what fair expectations for Vladar this year could be and how high those expectations should be.
I think immediately expectations for both goaltenders have to be tempered in terms of the raw numbers because of what their environment might look like, right? So I think, yeah, automatically, like, you know, it's funny. I had this conversation about Linus Allmark going to Ottawa. He outplayed statistically Jeremy Swayman in Buffalo or in Boston last year. And he could play at that exact same level this year in Ottawa, and nobody's going to be right. able to tell without some really good looks yep. you know, under the hood at analytics. And so, you know, there might be a little bit of that if you know, if the defensive play is a little looser in Calgary. So that's the sort of one thing, because that's ultimately what we judge goalies on often, and expectations need to be kept in check there. In terms of what he's capable of, again, I don't want to use the expectations, but like, there is a high ceiling there, I believe, still for him. And he's shown that in the past couple of years when healthy for stretches. The next, and this is a big challenge, is consistency. Like, can you do it over and over again over an extended period of time, right? Like, that's how you take the next step. And I think that's sort of, you know, it might be a question mark. Not a question mark in terms of doubt, but a question mark in, hey, let's see what that ceiling is. How long can he get on stretches where he plays as well as we've seen him play and carry it over on a night-in, night-out basis, find some of that consistency? And I think the good news, because going into the summer, I was one of the caveats I threw at you guys was, I'm not sure how long until you see that guy, depending on how the hip surgery goes. Because a lot of times, it, you know, I've talked about, we're finding goalies as young as 12 and 13 having this surgery almost in a precautionary manner. If you recognize that the way the hips are shaped, the way the top of the socket is shaped and the way it sort of moves around in there, if there's any unevenness that's going to start digging in, you're doomed as a goaltender. So fix it early. Like, it's almost like a boutique surgery. And for a lot of guys, they come out of it feeling so much better. Like, it's an oversimplification, and there are complications possible, which is what I was worried about. But it's like getting an oil, you know, a lube job, getting, you know, right, everything tuned up on your hips. And the word I've gotten is that this has gone really well. Like, he's on the positive side of this ledger. This isn't Pekka Rinne having complications later on and not being himself at the start of camp. It sounds like he's been skating for 3 full weeks already. And so that is really positive in terms of, and it sounds like this has gone well. And that is really positive in terms of him being able to come back in, feel good physically, and do the work to sort of give himself a chance to access the skill set that, you know, we've seen in the past in short spurts, allow him to have success. And I think there were times down the stretch last year before he shut it down where the body was preventing that. So, you know, that's encouraging news and good news for Flames fans and good news for Dan Vladar, because I do think there's upside there. And I think you're just going to have to be patient a little bit and, you know, lean on me for some numbers, adjust it as the season goes on. I'm happy to provide those.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's sort of see what the environment looks like and see if he can take a bigger role. The promise and potential has always been there for him. There's a reason they've kept him through this. And, you know, now with healthy hips and coming into a season strong with an opportunity he's never had before, it's up to him now to grasp it.
Kevin, last one for you. What does your crystal ball tell you about what the future might look like for Yaroslav Askarov?
Yeah. Seems pretty clear it's not going to be in Nashville. which is, like, I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, what's he done? Right? Like, and I'm not trying to be critical because I'm normally the goalie union guy, right? But, like, you know, like, they're... isn't quite the pedigree. Like, this is not Shesterkin and Sorokin in a ton of like year plus 2 year success in the KHL. Unbelievable. Like, everything was pretty quick over there. And then over here, and I'm not disputing the talent, but, you know, I think in each of the two AHL seasons, like, he hasn't gone start to finish as the starting playoff goaltender. And that's not a critique. Like, there's learning lessons that happen. There's steps you have to go through, ups and downs. And maybe he's better for being through them. I didn't quite see the first round status the same way when he was drafted. I haven't, admittedly, haven't watched as much in the AHL as I would like to. So maybe I'm leaning too much on what I thought of that pick and maybe thought of it being a little premature. You know, we talk about the hands. I thought going into the draft and people, when I say hands, people think, oh, it's about the glove. Everybody's talking about his glove. To me, it was the blocker and how inactive the stick was in the North American game. You can't just kick pucks off your pads back into the middle and not expect to get torched by guys driving the net for rebounds. Didn't use his stick to steer pucks out of play, control play, get faceoffs, get whistles, just wasn't active enough with him. And so that was a process I figured had to happen here. He's had stints, he's had success. But I don't know that there's enough there that say he's got to be in the NHL. And I certainly didn't see enough where it's like, yeah, this, I understand this team needs to get rid of UC Saros and turn the keys over. Like, there wasn't enough time for him to sort of establish that. And so the reality usually at that age is you're on an entry level. There's one more year in the minors and you're going to get call-ups. And you're going to get opportunities because everybody needs three. Very few get through a year with two.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just don't know if coming out this way does him much good if they were already working on deals. I just think it probably handcuffs the Predators and might make them even more reluctant. But it is what it is. Agent's choice. And let's see where it pans out. There's still a ton of skill there, a ton of talent. I don't mean that to come across too negative because there are a lot of things to like about his game as well. I just, much like Ilya Samsonov, to me, he got lumped in with the Shesterkins and the Sorokins, and I never saw that. And it's kind of panned out that way. Askarov was the highest drafted Russian goaltender ever. And so I understand why there would be some hype there. But personally, I just didn't quite see the same level as those other two guys. And I feel like from his camp, there's this expectation that he should be climbing the ranks as quickly as they did,
okay,
despite not having played as much against men in the KHL beforehand.
Kev, great stuff as always. Hey, it's always a pleasure having you on. Figured today would be a good day. I texted you the day before any of the Vancouver news really started to hit. I guess the Demko stuff was out there, but then the Ian Clark stuff as well. So it just ended up being really good timing. Appreciate the time as always, and enjoy your little jaunt for a long weekend. Hey, we'll talk to you once the season's back in full swing after Labor Day.
Yes, hopefully this was a little blip of news and I can still escape for a couple days here in peace, and look forward to talking to you guys as things get moving more regularly.
Yes, absolutely. Great stuff, Kev. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
It's Kevin Woodley, In Goal Magazine, NHL.com. Nobody breaks down the position between the pipes better than he does. And I thought with the Demko news in the Pacific Division, our conversation about Dan Vladar and the Flames on Tuesday, be a good day to check in with Kevin Woodley. So
there's always good reason to check in with Kevin Woodley.
100%.
Nobody breaks down that position better.
And as we wrap up this portion of Flames Talk, he joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.